I believe it is my year and yours as well. I want to begin with a question this morning, and it is a question intended to be personal to each of you. And the question is this: how much does God intend to bless you this year? What are His intentions toward you? What does He plan to do with regard to blessing you this year? Do we have any idea how much God intends to bless us this year? And the message today is a declaration. It's something that needs to be said. It's something that must be said. And we need to say it not only today, but every day of the year. And the declaration is this: 2016 is the year of more than enough. We need to say it every day. You need to write it on a stick and place it on your mirror or your refrigerator. Someplace you see it multiple times a day, and every time you see it, declare it out loud. 2016 is the year of more than enough. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 answers the question, how much does God intend to bless you? When the prophet said, God plans to prosper you. This past Wednesday night, we learned a little bit about how God can bless His people. Even those who go through suffering and times of loss and reversal, even though those who find themselves facing a challenge or a mountain that would seem too tall to ever scale, God has a way of showing up and blessing His people. And our case study was Job. Job was one of the wealthiest men. Not only that, he was perfect. How many men do you know that are perfect and upright before God? But Job was, in his day, before there was the book of Moses or any single verse of scripture written, Job lived and was perfect before God. And you know the story of Job. 42 chapters that give details as to how he lost everything. Nobody suffered greater loss in a shorter period of time than Job. In one day, he lost everything of value to him, including his children. They were all killed. All of his cattle, and he was a wealthy man, they were all killed. Everything lost in a day. Not only that, but then his health was attacked, and he was in pain for a while. But at the end of his story, we learned this past Wednesday night, in Job 42 and verse 10, it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. God gave twice as much. We learned Wednesday night, God pays double for your trouble. Now, you're blessed. If anybody asks you, how you doing? You say, blessed. But based on this, God pays double for your trouble. If anybody asks you, how you doing? And if you've known any trouble lately, you have a right to answer, I'm doubly blessed. Because God pays double. How much does God want to bless you this year? At least twice as much. But then, since Wednesday night, I've received even greater revelation that would answer the question, how much does God intend to bless you this year? In Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. Now, if God wants to bless you doubly this year, then let's not limit Him. Let's not forget He has all power and He can bless you as much as he intends to bless you. The only way God is limited is if we limit him. Now, this is a word that's designed to stretch our faith further than it's ever been stretched before. Nobody will leave here today exactly the way you came in. It is illegal to stay where you are after this word. You will either take one step forward or you are headed in reverse. God sometimes shows up and does everything we need instantly. I love the suddenlies. But then there are times when it's just a journey of baby steps. We got all year to get there. It may just be one baby step a day, but at the end of the year, we're going to be able to look back and see how God has so blessed us this year. That's the kind of God he is. Now, it's only January the 10th. It's the 10th day of a brand new year. It is still early enough in the year to make a course adjustment if you need to stay on target to where God wants to take you this year. Still early enough, so some of you may hear in this word an admonition to make an adjustment in your life so that you can wind up at that great place God has destined for you. Because his will is that this year you have more than enough in every area of your life. His name is El Shaddai. It means the God who supplies more than enough. God does not intend for any of us to limp through this year and at the end of the year look back and say, well, it was another year. We barely made it through again. No, his name means more than enough. The Amplified Bible says, my God shall liberally supply your need. That word supply means to furnish that which is missing. So whatever in your life is missing, if you're missing love, he will liberally supply it this year. If you're missing peace, joy, health, direction, wisdom, relationship, whatever area of your life is lacking, this is the year when God will liberally supply that area with more than enough. Now, I was all excited Wednesday night because I'd gotten the word of the Lord and how wonderful it is to realize, oh, God can doubly bless me. I can be doubly blessed. And in fact, if I've gone through any trouble, if I've suffered in any way, and if I've suffered successfully, then God's going to pay me double for my trouble. But since then, I've looked at the word more closely and realized God doesn't stop with double. Oh, let's take the limit off God this year. What if he just absolutely wanted to overbless, super bless, dynamically bless you in every area? What if this is the year when God just decides to not only catch up with you, but overtake you with his blessings? Doesn't stop with double. Even in the old covenant, there was a law on the books that said if an enemy came in and stole something from you, when that enemy was caught, the law required that he bring seven times back. So God doesn't stop. He's not limited to just bless you or doubly bless you. You can be blessed seven times. The priest in the Old Testament dipped his finger in the blood of a sacrificed animal and sprinkled the blood from his fingertip seven times on the altar. Solomon said a righteous man may fall seven times, but the Lord will lift him up seven times. David said, seven times a day do I bless you and praise your name. Israel marched around the walls of Jericho seven times and the walls fell down. Naaman was a leper And he got an instruction from the prophet, go and submerge yourself. Now, when I was in Sunday school as a boy, they said dipped. We use dipped for two reasons. Dipped was when Naaman dipped himself in the water. And then dipped is also what my great-grandmother did with her snuff. Dipped. Here's Naaman covered with leprosy, incurable, but God sent him a word, go and dip seven times in the Jordan River, and when you come up from that water after the seventh time, you will be cleansed. He did, and he was. It was seven times. There's something good about that number. If a thief is stolen from you, expect a sevenfold return. But then now, I'm excited that God can bless me, that he can doubly bless me, that he can even bless me sevenfold. But I've learned as I've looked at the word that the blessings of God can shift and they are compounded exponentially. It's difficult to do the math when it gets into this level. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus is giving the parable of a sower sowing seed in the ground. And of course, he explained it by saying the seed is the word of God. And when you hear the word, it's like the seed of the word being planted in your spirit and growing up within you. Matthew 13 and 8, Jesus said, still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. Now imagine that. God can bless you. God can doubly bless you. God can bless you seven times where you are at your present level. God can bless you 30 times more. God can bless you 60 times greater. God can bless you 100 times as much as you're blessed right now. Now notice, this kind of seed, or the word of God, fell on fertile soil. One translation, the most popular translation, says fell on good ground. I'm telling you right now, you're in the house of God. You're hearing the word of God. Respect yourself enough to realize I am good ground. I am good ground. I am qualified to hear the word of God. Carl's up there sowing seed this morning, and some of it's falling on me. And what God does when it comes to increasing the seed sown in my fertile ground is not determined by the seed. The seed is always good. God's word is always good, but it's determined by the quality of the soil. So respect yourself enough to call yourself good ground. 100 times more blessed. Is that not good? All right, now let's take a count because I'm getting excited. This is a word for each of us individually, but it's corporately for our church. I'll show you how in just a minute. This is going to be a great year for this church. It's our 30th year. We're going into our 30th year. Look at the wonderful people God has sent to this local body. He has positioned us for this coming year to do great things. Now review, God can bless us. He can doubly bless us. He can bless us seven times as much. And he can bless us 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times as much as we're blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. Takes us to the next level. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised. Anybody interested this year in serving a God that can bless you 1,000 times more? There it is in the scripture. Now, let me also say, I believe in prosperity. And this could refer to finances, certainly, because finances are a very real area. But hello, it's more than money. It's not about the money. I'm so rich. Now, Deborah keeps all my money at the bank. And she knows there's other people up there, a lot other people up there with more money than me, but not richer than me. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm whole, I'm at peace, I have joy. Every day is a good day for me. If I do have a bad day, I limit my bad days to 1 in a row. I am so aware of how good God is to me. I'm blessed. And it's not just about measurables in terms of dollars and cents. It's about the things that you couldn't pay for if you had all the money in the world. The next heartbeat I need. The next lung full of air I need. The sanity I need. To leave here in a little bit, get in the car and drive to the right house and walk in the right door. It requires some sense, you know. God has so prospered me. I don't lack a thing. Everything I've ever needed, He's really supplied. And that's your story too. So I am excited that this is the year where the Lord's going to bless me with much more than enough, and it could even be 1,000 times more. Now, I know we could dismiss there and go home and shout and say, well, we heard today from the Word of God that we can be blessed 1,000 times more than we're blessed right now. That would be good enough. But can I tell you one more? Just go to one more level. Tell you about the time where God showed up and a 5,000 times blessing was given. We just can't limit Him. The point today, don't limit God. Don't limit Him with enough. He has more than enough in plan for you. Don't limit Him with double. He might have more than that in plans for you. Don't limit Him with 7 times, 30 times, 60 times, 100. Don't even limit Him with 1,000 times more. And I'm not talking about money. Could you use 1,000 times more peace in your life? It's available. This is the year of more than enough. Let me tell you this story, how God can bless something 5,000 times more. Jesus had been preaching. It was a church service. They didn't call it that, but it was sort of like us getting together and teaching the word. Jesus had taught the word and then dismissed the service. And he and a handful of his disciples left the crowd, trying to get away from the crowd. And they walked up the side of a mountain a ways just because church was dismissed. And I love it around here when we dismiss church and people don't go anywhere. No hurry to get anywhere, just hang out for a while. That's the way it was with this crowd. And the Bible says Jesus and His disciples were standing on the side of the mountain where He had a bird's eye view of the crowd, and He realized, I dismissed them, but they're not going home. In fact, they're coming toward Me. And being concerned about every area of their needs, like He is mine and yours, He asked Philip, one of the disciples, I'd like to feed this great crowd of people. It's 5,000 men. But Where, he asked Philip, where can we buy enough food to feed all this crowd? And Philip was of the mindset of resources. Looking in your pocket, how much you got. Looking at the bank statement, how much you got. Trying to do the math and figure out how can I do all that needs to be done with what little bit I have. He was resource-centered. But another one of the disciples was out milling with the people, and his name was Andrew. He came back and said, Lord, I've not been able to find enough food out there to feed everybody. All I've been able to find is one boy with one lunch. Just one sack lunch, a little bread and fish. Jesus took that and said to the disciples, ask the people to sit down. Now, we don't know what that means yet. It came to me this week. It came to me from the word that when he said that, so many things shifted. So many things happened when Jesus said, ask the people to sit down. The story goes on. Jesus took the bread and fish. He gave thanks. In other words, he asked the blessing. And then he distributed it to the disciples, and they had enough to pass it all around. Not only was there enough for everybody in the crowd of 5,000 to eat, but the Bible says they ate as much as they wanted, and they were filled. Verbatim, what the Bible says. They ate as much as they wanted, and they were filled. Not only that, but after everybody ate all they wanted and everybody was filled, they had 12 baskets remaining over and above. They had some leftovers to take home. More than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. Now, here's how Jesus took one thing, just one thing in one person's hand, and blessed it and multiplied it until it was 5,000 times what it had been and more. I'm saying, let's take the limits off of God. What if this is the year he says, I'm just going to bless you with 5,000 times more love, more wisdom, more direction for your life, more comfort, more healing, more joy, more provision. Yeah, money's in it too, but I'm not preaching this because of money. It's so much more than money. It includes things that money can't even buy. Now, the disciples were facing a difficult situation. Somebody here might be. Sometimes difficult situations are arranged by the hand of God. He sees the end from the beginning. And he knows that with this difficulty comes a test to your faith, but the reason he allows it is so that your faith can be proven strong. Not that so you will fail, but so you will pass the test and prove your faith. What happened here was an unanticipated demand being suddenly placed on the disciples. Where can we find enough food to feed all these people? My God, what an overwhelming need right there. Imagine being in that little circle with Jesus and him asking a hard question. Where can we get enough food to feed this crowd? When all there was in the crowd was enough for one person. Just one person. One person for one day. That was all. Such a small amount. But when God blesses, and he's the God that blesses more than enough, what is only enough for one can become more than enough for 5,000. He can bless something 5,000 times more. Now, the blessings of God are inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. And already to date, God has dispersed so many blessings into our lives. And yet, after dispersing all the blessings that He has given us already, His storehouse is undiminished. He still has just as much as ever. Inexhaustible. We can only imagine it. A couple of quick points. Number one, like the little boy in the story that brought enough food for one boy for one day, give God what you have despite how little it might be. That's the reason most of us don't believe God for more, do more, attempt more, try more, because it's just, it won't matter. Look how little it is. I don't have much. There was a widow in the Old Testament. She was poverty stricken. Everybody in the nation was hungry. There had been no rain, a famine, and the neighbors had started dying off. Somehow she and her grown son, young adult son, that lived with her, she was a widow, they had enough now. They were still alive, but they were down to one more meal. One more. And God sent Elijah the prophet through that city, and they connected. The prophet said, "I'm hungry, can you fix me a meal?" And she said, "You know, everybody in the nation's starving. My neighbors have been dying left and right. My son and I have enough for one, we only have enough for one more meal for ourselves. Our plans are, I'm going to cook this one more meal, and then we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die too, like the rest of the neighbors on the street." She said, "I only have a little bit of oil and a handful of flour." She had a handful and a little bit. That's all she had. She had a handful and a little bit. The prophet said, "If you'll make me a meal and let me eat first, you will never run out of oil and flour as long as you live." The Bible says, "Believe the Lord and you'll be established." The very next sentence says, "If you believe His prophets, you will prosper." That woman believed the prophet of God when she only had a handful and a little bit. She obeyed the instruction God gave her through the prophet, and till the day she and her son died, her pantry was overflowing with flour and oil. She never got hungry again. Why? Because she gave God the little she did have, despite how small and weak it appeared to be. There's another story in the New Testament. A lot of us come to church, and part of what we do in worship is give, reach into our pockets, and give tithe and offering in the offering bags when we have opportunity. Well, it so happened that this was taking place in Jesus' day at the temple in Jerusalem, and everybody throwing in their big bucks. It must have been like one of those churches downtown where people just show up and throw big bucks in. I'm just kidding. God bless the churches downtown. But this one exception, a little poor lady walked in, an elderly lady, and while others were flaunting their huge contributions, their big offerings, she just quietly walked up and tossed in a little coin, and people started talking. Jesus, all she threw in was that widow mite. Just the smallest coin. You know, I don't even know why they make pennies anymore. I'm all for stopping with a penny. It takes 2 cents to make 1 penny. But a widow's mite, that was almost nothing. And she dropped it in, and people were whispering about it. That's all she gave. Why'd she even bother? That's all she came. That's all she gave. Look how much I gave. Look how much he gave. Look how much she gave. That little widow, what an embarrassment to throw in one little widow's mite. Jesus said, she's given more than all of you because she gave it all. So like this little boy who only had one sack lunch, it was so small, it was so weak compared to the need and the miracle they needed, we should give God what we have despite how little it might be. This boy was a generous giver. He gave his meal for the day. And then God never allows a generous giver to be a loser. That boy, don't you know, was the rock star of the crowd that day. When Jesus took that little thing he had and multiplied it 5,000 times and more, there was some left over. That little boy had a story to go home and tell his mama and to tell all his friends and to tell his children when he had them and his grandchildren after them. Let me tell you about the time God proved to me that he will never allow a generous giver to be a loser. There was a time when the crowd was so big and I'm the only one there that had anything, and I had a pitifully little bit. But I gave it to God, and he performed a miracle with that little bit I had. Now, here's what shifted in that story when God showed up and blessed something 5,000 times more than it was blessed. It shifted when he said, ask the people to sit down. That's everything in the story hinges on that pivotal moment right then. When Jesus said, ask the people to sit down. So many things ride on that one sentence in Scripture. First of all, thankfully, they obeyed. Had they not obeyed, it would have been the end of the story. A different outcome. The only one that would have eaten that day is that boy whose mama packed him a sack lunch. That would have been the only belly getting full that day was that one boy. Had they not obeyed. But the crowd realized something was about to happen, possibly. And they recognized that's an instruction from the Lord. And we're hungry. And if all he's asking us to do is sit down, then let's obey that. He only asked one thing. Sometimes God, when he's working on a miracle for you, he'll ask you one thing. He'll give you one instruction. Now, not 10, not 12, not 100. Sometimes it's only one thing he will ask. Like, taxes due, don't have the money. Go catch a fish. One thing. You only got one thing to do. Go fishing. You'll find a coin in the fish's mouth. Or one thing, covered with leprosy, incurable. And then I meet Jesus. And he asked me to do one thing. Go show yourself to the priest. That's it. Just one thing. Now listen, be very careful when you're in need and you are believing God to bless you with more than enough. Be careful to recognize an instruction. It will be one thing, and it's usually simple, but it's the act of obedience that releases the miracle. You know, like, Lord, we've been out here working all night trying to catch fish and haven't caught a thing. We're about to file bankruptcy and go home and take a nap. One thing. Cast your net on that side. Just one thing. Easily doable. It's not about the strength required to do it. It's about recognizing the instruction and being obedient. One thing. There's a meme that's real popular. I'm sure you've seen it. A meme with the caption, you had one thing. Just one thing to do, and you blew it. Just one thing. And some of them are hilarious and funny. If you want some entertainment this afternoon, Google that. The meme, you had one job. And in this case, Jesus only asked one thing. Now, when he said, ask the people to sit down. Justin, come up here. You look like a young man who's ready to be doubly blessed, blessed seven times, blessed 30, 60, 100 times more blessed, 1,000 times more blessed, 5,000 times more blessed, and then some. You look like that kind of man. All right. Imagine you in the crowd, hungry. By now you have a sense Jesus is about to do something, and the only thing he asks is that the people sit down. Would you sit down right here?
Yes, sir.
Sit down. When the crowd did this, they put themselves in position to eat a meal. It's not like in 20 minutes from now when you go to Outback and get you a table and the host shows you to your booth or your table and you seat yourself in a cushioned with a nice little table with the salt shaker. They were outside on the mountainside. And so everyone in that 5,000 crowd, when they got in this position, they knew what was coming. I'm getting ready to have a meal. He's told me to sit. Now, why would he ask me to sit? I'm hungry, and the talk is about food, and I see he's got some bread, and he just blessed it. Well, why else would he ask me to sit in this position? It's because he's getting ready to serve me. Plenty to eat. When I get up from here, I'm going to be filled with more than enough. And there will be leftovers after that. We need to put ourselves in a position to receive. It was more than just sitting on the ground, getting off your feet. It was, I am ready now to receive the miracle. I am in position. What did it take to get in position? Just obey one single instruction. Now, he didn't give you something difficult to do. He didn't say, go out with a bow and arrow and kill 8 oxen, drag them back here, cut them open, skin them, build a fire, hang them up, cook them for 70 hours, salt and pepper them, and then let everybody know. One simple, just sit down. Put yourself in a position to receive the meal I'm about to prepare for you. When he said, ask the people to sit down, what he was saying is, tell them to get ready to eat. And they obeyed that simple instruction. Thank you, Justin. May the Lord bless you with 5,000 times more. Quickly. Obedience and blessing are inseparably connected. Obedience and blessing inseparably connected. Obedience leads to the blessing. Now, God can bless you. He can doubly bless you. He can bless you 7 times, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more. He can bless you 1,000 times more. He can bless you 5,000 times more. And this is the year when he's going to bless this church corporately. Well, he's done it every year. Let me tell you about how God changed everything for this church. And for those of you who were here at that time, you walked that journey with us. You were there, eyewitnesses. For those of you who have come after that, here is what God did. This is what God did to get us from obscurity, where nobody in town knew where we were. We were on a secondary road, to visibility. This is the main street in Florence. We're on the south side of the big street going right through the city here. We're at the gate of the city. People see our church as they enter the city on this major highway. That didn't just happen. Here's what God did corporately for this church. I was in Latvia preaching. I'd been gone for 10 days. Flew back into the Florence airport. This was 17, 18 years ago maybe. And I love my little airport in Florence. Don't make fun of the Florence airport. Because I can leave my house in 10 minutes, I'm at the airport. I can start right there and go anywhere in the world. Right there. Short-term parking and long-term parking are the same right there. I can park, go in 60 seconds. There's only one gate. It's hard to get lost at that airport. So I had been in Latvia on a mission trip. 10 days, I'm coming back home, and jet lag. It's like 30 hours of travel, counting layovers and all that. So I get to the Florence airport on my way home, and Brenda's there to pick me up. I get in the car, and I'm mentally exhausted. And the first thing she said is, "Darling, Billy Godwin spoke at the church while you were gone." Of course, I knew that. Said, "But he gave a prophecy to the church, and I knew you would want to hear it. I've got it queued up right here in the car right now. Are you ready for this?" And I said, "Yes." And she pressed play. And Billy Godwin, who has a prophetic gift, preaching at our church with me on the other side of the world, said, and I listened to it in the car, said, "I see God blessing this church financially." And he said, "I see finances just pouring into this church." He said, "Not just a trickle, but a flood. Not just a trickle, but a flood." I mean, that was a prophetic word. God wanted to bless this church. God was up to blessing this church at that season. And when I heard it, I said, "Oh, I'm excited about that. I received that. God's going to bless our church. Not just a trickle of blessing. Not just..." Now, all of us have trickled blessing. If you were able to get up, get dressed, and drive here today and sit here without screaming out loud in pain, you've got a trickle going. I mean, God's good to you right now if you've got enough sense to sit there without screaming. Trickled. But the prophet of God said, "God's going to bless this church financially, and it's not just a trickle, but a flood of finances coming into this church." Well, we were a simple, small church, and then we heard that word, and sure enough, within a year, we bought a piece of property, planning to build years and years and years later, after we paid for the little bit of dirt over a period of years, and Walmart beat a path to our door and demanded that we sell them that property right down there that had us. We had just put a sign up, "Future Site Abundant Life Church." And we sort of liked looking at that sign. And so Walmart's representatives came to us and demanded that we sell that property to them so they could build a super Walmart, which is right down the street here. You know, you probably went there on the way to church this morning. Because they're open all the time, you know. Well, we told them at first, "Well, we don't think we're interested in selling it. Because, I mean, we got a sign up there. We think we might want to build a church there one of these days." But when they told us how much money they were willing to pay this little church for that property, we realized that's not a trickle, that's a flood. And that's why we're here today, because God blessed this church doubly, sevenfold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 1,000 times, and even 5,000 times more than what we had. And that's what He's up to in your life. When we could have settled for less, God gave us more. He's that kind of God. Would you stand with me? Everybody stand. I'd like to ask the men and women who serve on our prayer team to come forward, because some of you have faith at a high level now, dealing with needs in your life, and you really believe now that prayer will change your life. We're going to give opportunity for that. Some of you are blessed and you know it, but you need greater blessing. You need this to be the year of more than enough to meet needs in your life. And so we're going to give opportunity for you to receive prayer. Let's put a verse of Scripture on the wall. What a great dismissal. What a great way to close then, all of us corporately reading this together. Would you read it really loud with me? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father,